The Democratic Republic of Congo embodies one of history's most striking paradoxes, a land of extraordinary natural abundance where human suffering has reached unfathomable depths. When King Leopold II established his personal colony in 1885, he unleashed a reign of terror that would claim an estimated 10 million lives, half the population, through his notorious red rubber system of mutilation and murder. Yet this horrific chapter was merely the opening act in a century-long drama of exploitation and resistance that continues today. What makes Congo's story so compelling isn't just the scale of its tragedy, but the remarkable persistence of its people's fight for self-determination. From early mutinies against Leopold's Force Publique to Lumumba's independence movement, from Mulele's revolutionary Maquis to the democratic opposition against Mobutu, Congolese people have never passively accepted their fate. Their struggle exposes the profound gap between Western rhetoric about democracy and the reality of policies that consistently prioritize access to strategic resources over human rights. Congo's wealth has always been its curse. The territory contains vast forests covering 77% of its land, the mighty Congo River system with immense hydroelectric potential, seven great lakes, and mineral deposits including copper, cobalt, gold, diamonds, uranium, and rare metals like coltan. When Belgian geologist Jules Cornet discovered Katanga's mineral wealth in 1892, he called it a geological scandal for its concentration of high-grade ores, a scandal that would make Congo irresistible to foreign powers for generations to come. King Leopold II seized a territory 76 times larger than Belgium, seeking a slice of this magnificent African cake. His brutal system gave concession companies monopoly rights, with the Anglo-Belgian India Rubber Company enforcing quotas through hostage-taking and murder. Soldiers had to produce severed hands to verify each bullet used, creating a grotesque system of accountability. When international pressure forced Leopold's surrender in 1908, Belgium refined the exploitation. The colonial constitution established the colonial trinity of state, Catholic Church, and corporations as rulers. Belgian administration maintained control through agricultural officers and African monitors. Belgium justified its presence as a humanitarian mission against slavery and disease, a narrative that persisted until independence. King Baudouin's patronizing speech then prompted Lumumba's famous rebuke about forced labor and racism. Post-World War II liberalization only offered limited assimilation through demeaning tests of Europeanization, including proper silverware use and French language requirements. Unlike regions with warrior kings like Menelik II or Samori Touré, Congo's resistance emerged from colonial institutions, the army, workers' camps, and agricultural systems. After armed revolts diminished by World War I, resistance transformed into religious movements, reflecting traditional links between spiritual and political action. Simon Kimbangu emerged as the leading religious resistor in 1921. This Baptist catechist combined Christian theology with anti-colonial messages through healing and prophecy. Though imprisoned after just 6 months, becoming Africa's longest-serving political prisoner until his death in 1951, his underground church grew into Congo's largest independent religious movement. His prophecy that the black man will become white and the white man will become black became a powerful symbol of coming independence. Resistance also manifested through peasant and urban uprisings. The 1931 Pende Revolt in Kwilu claimed over 1,000 lives, and this region later became a hub of revolutionary resistance. Urban opposition included army mutinies and labor strikes, culminating in the 1941 Lubumbashi Massacre, where over 100 Katanga miners died. The Congolese independence movement began in 1956 when the Alliance des Bakongo demanded immediate independence, rejecting Belgium's 30-year transition plan. The 1957 political reforms sparked the rise of various parties, with Patrice Lumumba emerging as leader of the Mouvement National Congolais. Lumumba advocated for a strong central government to secure genuine independence and harness Congo's resources for national development. His Pan-Africanist stance and ties to radical leaders like Nkrumah alarmed Western powers. After Kinshasa riots in January 1959, Belgium was forced to accelerate independence. At the Brussels Roundtable Conference, United Congolese demands led Belgium to set independence for June 30, 1960, allowing just 6 months for transition. Lumumba's downfall came through a conspiracy of U.S., Belgian, and U.N. officials with his Congolese rivals. Following President Eisenhower's implicit CIA directive to eliminate him, Lumumba fell to a CIA-backed coup. Belgian intelligence aided his capture and transfer to Lubumbashi, where his assassination on January 17, 1961, made him a symbol of genuine independence. A second independence movement arose when independence's promises remained unfulfilled. As the new black elite merely replaced white colonizers, living in colonial mansions and suppressing dissent, ordinary Congolese demanded the healthcare, education, and opportunities they'd been promised. Pierre Mulele, a Lumumbist leader, returned from China in 1963 to launch Africa's first anti-neo-colonial revolution. In Kwilo, he combined popular ideals with Marxist-Leninist theory, training locals for rural insurrection while emphasizing respect for civilians. His guerrillas gained such devoted followers that fighters believed Mai Mulele, Mulele water, could turn bullets to water. By 1964, Mulele controlled much of Kwilu, while the Conseil National de Liberation established an Eastern Front using Simba youth groups who mixed traditional weapons with magico-religious practices. The CIA responded with Cuban and European mercenaries, using napalm against civilians, while Operation Red Dragon brought Belgian paratroopers to Kisangani and Isiro under the pretext of rescuing white hostages. Joseph Désiré Mobutu, a former soldier turned journalist who secretly informed for Belgian intelligence and the CIA, rose to power through Cold War dynamics. Initially appointed as Lumumba's junior minister and army chief, he seized control in a 1965 coup that won public support through promises of stability while serving Western interests. Under Mobutu's rule, national resources became his personal assets. Despite monthly mining and petroleum revenues of $40 to $60 million, by 1996, the government reported less than $150 million annually, leaving the resource-rich nation with a $300 million yearly budget. The regime maintained Western support through the belief that Congo needed a strong man to govern its multi-ethnic population and advance Western interests in Central and Southern Africa. Mobutu manipulated these concerns, sometimes staging incidents to ensure continued Western intervention. Congo's liberation struggle has evolved through four phases since 1956. The independence movement, 1956-60, resistance to state collapse, 1963-68, fighting one-party rule, 1969-97, and current struggles against foreign interference and authoritarianism. Congo's strategic location and mineral wealth have drawn imperial power since 1884, all pursuing the same goal, political control for resource extraction. Western nations and financial institutions have consistently favored investment stability over democratic reform, offering only token support for democracy. Despite vast natural resources, Congo remains deeply impoverished. Yet its people's persistent resistance shows remarkable resilience. True democracy is essential both for security and human dignity. The fight that began under Leopold's rule continues as Congolese seek control of their destiny. Claims of failed states or resource curses mask intentional systems of exploitation and oppression. Congo's challenges stem not from lack of capacity, but from deliberate destabilization by those profiting from chaos. Its future depends on gaining genuine self-determination.